Zalman Pinchas Quinn.
My early experiences with Rosh Yeshiva, trying to think back now, the first one I remember, the Levaya from Harry Hershkowitz. In my first year in the Sifta Torah V'Das, 1954-55, I believe right away when we came there, the Yeshiva, next year, the Yeshiva came together with Chatishna Sereb, Zechayim Levracha, to speak on behalf of Tashvar and Chinuch Hatzmoy. I don't remember at all what they said there. Of course, it was a big year of Sakovi. Then, the end of 1954 was the Levaya of Harry Hershkowitz, famous supporter of Torah, and the Yeshiva spoke. I remember there was a whole long block full of limousines that came to Williamsburg to the Levaya, because he was very well known amongst all the high-class people from Manhattan. And the Yeshiva spoke of Meir Dika Hespid, which is printed in the Mishnah Sarang. You can see there, he writes of him as an Odom Godo. Tovshin Yud Ches, that the building Zechayim Levracha was Nifta, Chof Beis Elul, Chof Beis Adar, rather. The Yeshiva could not come to the Levaya. I'm not sure why. If it was because he wasn't well, because he had an accident that winter, or because it was Erev Shabbos, he probably couldn't just make it. But he came the week afterwards to the Hespit, and it left me a great impression when Reb Aaron came in. The whole island, it was not a Lakewood island, the whole island got up and was standing on top of the backs of the chairs to be able to take a glimpse of the Yeshiva. The Maisi did not say a Hespit because he had the accident that year and he probably was too schwach. But Reb Aaron spoke in his name and in his own name because they were both Chaverim with Reb Ruvein, both of them 3 years younger. Reb Yaakov spoke in his name and Reb Aaron's name, because they were both close Chaverim of Reb Ruvein. But for Minsk, they were kidrin. Reb Ruvein had done a big hashpah. I don't remember right now what the guy said. And Tovshin Yutes, he was sent to hear the Yeshiva speak on the east side, famous Rosha, when he was Noich on the cover of the Jews Gadol, that Rosha is also printed. There was another few occasions where he went and heard the Yeshiva at the time of the Pasachim. And other Sifis in Greensburg at Pier 16, Agudah Sifis. Wherever he spoke, he was the Rosh HaMedaber B'chol Mokeh. Not the greatest orator, was not left to understand him, usually. But he was, whatever word that came out of his mouth, people listened very, very carefully. There was fire in his eyes. My own thing, I wasn't old enough to understand well enough. Just sort of
I wasn't there.
It was Pikesy Terebit Shul, it was a shul with bleachers. I was up in the bleachers, I remember where I was. And to understand, we never understood. We used to come back to Yeshiva, and on the way back, he used to say, how many times did he say Torah? How many times did Rabbi say Torah? Did he say college? How did he say college? That was always the.
We have that.
I don't know if you have all the recordings. He never worked on the recordings, I don't know. Maybe not as far as a little bit. That's Russia got right. 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 And in Tovshin, I'm not sure what it was. Chafala for Chafbeis, Tovshin made sure he came again. He had the commission of Sereb to speak on behalf of Tashvat. He spoke for about 20 minutes. Later this morning, about Mesiris Nefesh, one from the Talmidim, Mesiris Nefesh at Ashbab, because he said that the founder of the Yeshiva, of Shagal Five of Mendelowitz, had Mesiris Nefesh, Chlal, and the Shat Ashbab, because he called the first meeting on behalf of establishing the Ashbab in Israel. He was very sick at the time, Mr. Mendelowitz. And they got him with his sickbed through the meeting in Manhattan. So he said the Baruch Hanatar especially should have Mesiras Nefesh for it. And then the second half of the Drasha, he spoke about one devoting themselves completely to the learning of Torah and not Chalila going to study, to indulge in other studies. I taped it at the time, but they had on a reel, I don't know where they had it. I learned the Mesiras Torah Das at the Yeshiva in Cheshvan Tov Shin Chav Beis, end of 1961. So that's
okay,
regretfully, I was only 1 year with the Yeshiva, but I noticed during that year, I never saw him learning anything but what was Negei this year. He just didn't have the time. He didn't have the time to learn. He gave away his last 20 years of his life. He gave away for the cloud. I heard the same exchange from others. He said that she was going to cloud to in America. It's true, but at one point in the winter, I see Mr. Mel, he's learning things, not pretending to own a sector to the Basra. He seemed to be learning Sanhedrin. And I found out he was going to Eretz Yisrael. He was preparing Shurim to say in Eretz Yisrael and Sanhedrin. But other than what he had to say for the Shurim, the Shmuelson, the times that I saw him learning from this Medrash was always on the Masechta. But either Chisa, I never saw such a masmid like the Yeshiva. Little Goyim, Evchananu, the Minutin, the Secundus, people waiting in line, and as soon as someone stepped away, he was back in the Gemara as if he was going to be there a few hours. There was no such thing as one becoming comfortable with the Yeshiva, getting Hamish. From what I saw, everybody had a tremendous Yiras HaKovid. Talmidim that we had a number of years said it was after 5 years was like the first day. And all to my eyes it came because the Yeshiva was a Meir Dik Yirei Shemayim. In my life, I didn't see someone say a Krishna like a Baran's Krishna. A Baran's Krishna, and you look in the Shmuz and he writes about what it means missing one time Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, one time Krishna. And every time, every Krishna was a new Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. The Yeshiva, I understand, the beginning of Baba Basra's Man Tov Shin Chav Beis, he said a shmuz about, he was very, very disappointed at the pace that the Olam was learning. I understand that he wanted the Chatchila, they should learn 3 blot a week, first Seder, 3 blot a week, second Seder. To be Eved, 2 blot a week. But less than 2 blot, he felt he could close the Yeshiva. That's what I was told, a little tighter. What I did see myself, that's what I heard, but what I saw was that at Kaseidah throughout this man, he was trying to push the shiurim always 2 blot ahead, assuming that the Baruch are going to go learn another 2 blot. And they were begging him that they can't do it. The Chad with shiurim, he wanted to say before he went there to Israel, and the Baruch went in, the Goliath went in to him begging him to put it off, and that he was very upset that they're going too slow. The end was that they got him to put it off, and he said, 6 shiurim in 7 days. And he came back there to Israel, and then he was going to rest in Florida. In between, he said, 6 shiurim in 7 days. Same thing when it's the next man, the summer's man was called Matthias, and the yeshiva insisted and wouldn't give in. Insisted they should learn Perek HaZov. And the Baruch wanted to learn Perek HaMafkid, the Oilam, I should say. And they went and begging him, but he wouldn't give in at all. He said, if you finish Azov, then you go back to Hamafkid. And everybody came to the Nuzman, they learned how to start Azov, whatever happened at the end of the day, they went back to Hamafkid, but he wouldn't give in at all. What I need to say is that the Yeshiva felt that the Yeshiva has to go on the system of 2 blot a week each Seder. He told my Chavrusa that he used to say that he's going to go to Architoises, Tosh, Lif, and Rambam, Kukta Nishulchanach, Metigra, and everything else, leave for Dainas Dorim. Other times, Craig is very good for Dainas Dorim, Nachostava Dainas Dorim, and others for him. He did tell my Chavrusa that every Mesechta has one Rishain, and Baba Basra, the Rishon is the Ramban. I was always scared of being called Reshiva. By the way, when anyone had to leave the Beis Medrash, he looked out the door to check if Reshiva was around in the hall because he was scared that Reshiva would ask him where he's holding. He was very upset. Oh, I didn't say. So he said a shmuz then In the beginning of the Rabbi, he said Shmuel's very sharp. Shmuel's, I didn't see it printed. About learning Chester. He said over the story of Yeshua like this can, who said Shurim and the Sugya of Hezekiah 3 hours a day for 3 months. And Yeshua said over the story, he said, over the Zobah type at the Gantic Shas. The Shurim were cold from Gantic Shas. He was learning Shas at that same time. As we learn the Taisus of Laficha, the Basa Dar Beis, and try to say Svaris, we'll never the Svaris. We're not Mishalem for the Basa. That's not Boich Svaris. And everybody knows the Yeshiva was officially declared to be sick after Sukkot. But I noticed way, way, way before how the Yeshiva was deteriorating and getting weaker and weaker. Nobody knew why. I used to like to follow him in the street because I knew that he can't do anything. I don't know if the doctors ever figured out when the Yeshiva got sick, but my earliest recollection is the Chodesh Nissen was the Chasna of Yochanan Fallman, Thursday night. The Yeshiva was supposed to be at the Chasna beside the Kedushin. He never showed up, and the Oilam came back on the Chasna and said the Yeshiva wasn't there, so therefore everybody left at a Shabbos. Everyone was supposed to say for Shabbos, Yeshiva was supposed to say a Shia. But he didn't come back to Yeshiva for Shabbos. So he was sick that weekend. What he was sick with, I don't know. Then, as I said, after Pesach, he's always asking for rides. That if Shavuos again, he was sick. He was supposed to say a Shia for the Kachem Chavura. I believe he didn't say the Shia that day. Shavuos in the morning, Midavim Vasikin, the Yeshiva was not there. They waited, waited, and waited. They turned to Reb Shneur before Baruch Hu, and we waited about 25 minutes till the Yeshiva finally came. We didn't have a klasik, so we knew that he was not well. However, after the davening by Kiddush, the Yeshiva was very meidich and very besimcha. They sang many, many nagunim, and then again by the Suda, by night Suda, the whole Yontif was very freilich. They danced in the Beis Medrash between the first day Yontif and the second day Yontif. The second day Yontif was on Shabbos, and the Yeshiva made a big Nilus Achag, about 4 hours. He spoke very long, the Elam danced. We didn't see anything special. The only thing I do remember, I think Dr. Zeraven came to Medrash Shavuos, and they said something about the heart, but I don't think anyone took it seriously. And then, these months, summer months, after Shalosh Shudos, he didn't go back to the Beis Medrash to daven. They made a minyan for him in the dining room building. And I used to go back. I used to go to Beis Medrash, then come back for Maidah, Mitzvah Shabbos. And I don't know if we're hearing it then or later, that after he ate, he couldn't walk. So this must have gone on a good half a year before he was niftah, that he already had that machla. In the summer, he left his man a little bit earlier to rest up. I was by him with my father, up in Fleischmann's Ring Ben Azmanim, and I saw the Yeshiva walking. Before we met him, I saw him coming. I saw someone all white. I didn't recognize him, from far at least. He was so drained. And also on the street when he walked, I saw when he came to the driveway, which goes up from 7th Street up the driveway, what we call the driveway going up to the Yeshiva, it was just, the incline was very, very hard on him. He couldn't walk. So he definitely was really physically very, very, very weak. But the Ruchnius, he was just stronger, stronger, and stronger. In the last Chodesh Elul, he said the Shurim and Shvach and Bar Mitzvah. He said Shurim twice a week, plus Chazar Shashir twice a week, means 4 times a week he said the Shir. And from his Chodesh Elul till through Yom Kippur, he said 10 Shmuasim. 10 Shmuasim to the Yeshiva. Every week, at Zoy Shabbos Lichis, the night before of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah, on Tzogadal, he did not say it. I think it was Avzaychik that spoke then. And Shabbos Shuva, and then Kippur twice. On Shabbos Shuva, he said a Shia for close to 2 hours, because it's the last Shia this month. Yom Kippur was on Monday, Shabbos Shuvah before he said a shiur for closer to 2 hours. Then after Shabbos Shuvah, he said a Shabbos Shuvah drosha for close to 1 hour. At the end of the Shabbos Shuvah drosha, he said, "Mit yungre koyches kemen asach mer oiftan," and he started crying and he walked down. I say he walked down because I think that drosha he said from the top of the beam and not from his seat. Said like a drosha, and he walked off, and I was stunned. Why is he saying this? I see yungre koyches. The whole Elul, besides everything else, the whole year he would go into New York Monday, come back Thursday. But in Elul, any time he had to go to New York, he came back the same day. Chasna, Nasifa, he was a groundbreaking for yeshiva, all different, whatever, klaus achim, he always made sure to come back. So why is he complaining about yungre koyches? It was to me a big chiddush. Years later, when I spoke this over with yeshiva and Shneya, he said, yeah, in Yenit Kufa, the tata zich gemont atzlas, spirta atzlas, he was up. That Elul became a very big group of Bokha. The size of the yeshiva at that time, this was about 20 Bokha came, was a big chiddush. I have no doubt that those 20 Bokha, that one chiddush Elul, that from the yeshiva, years and years, Shima should I call it, the roishim that he made, no child made a tremendous impact on that. Just the short weeks that they were with him. In the winter, the yeshiva spoke two shmus and interesting. The first one was there was a yid that his name, that every morning would clean the basin, every space on the chairs, sort him a little bit. One day he came to the yeshiva with 50 cigarette butts that he said that were left on the floor. It stressed him very much that the people are leaving cigarette butts on the floor. So the yeshiva spoke, of course, devoted to the topic of a mikdoshi tiruk, the kedushas beis hakneses, about not throwing cigarette butts on the floor. But not too long after, about 2 months later or less, the yeshiva spoke another shmuz. I heard that it was because somebody went to the doctor and the doctor told him to stop smoking and never smoked. So they said it should be one big smoke screen. And the yeshiva spoke about anti-smoking shmuz. And the same, this was before the Surgeon General came out with his report that smoking is dangerous. But the yeshiva said on his own that Misvada, smoking is not healthy. And he would like that everyone should try to refrain from it and to dislock it off it. He suggested that people stop with one Seder, maybe second Seder, he said. And that didn't work then. The yeshiva tried to stop it. It didn't work. They stopped at the end of the month. They came to the sun and again they spoke. So this was a little similar to it. Cloud. I don't know how we were able to take it. It surely wasn't helpful. An interesting thing that I myself, this was a Chayde Shalom, the last Chayde Shalom of the yeshiva. He said Shmuz. At the end of the Shmuz, he didn't seem to have anything to do with the Shmuz, but he said over that the Mechab and Shulchan Aruch tells us the Kavanas of the Shemes. And he learned up the Mechab. He says, when you daven, you have to be mechaven the shemus. U'metachman anaftem. Those are the words that I remember. That was the extent of what he said about this. But when I heard that from his mouth, for the next few weeks, I found it very hard to daven. I just was scared with every shem. So I thought it was just me. Many years later, Yitzhak Nobuhat came to the yeshiva that Elul, told me over the exact same story, how he heard the shemus, and that couldn't daven afterwards. A few years ago, Rav Chaim Leib Epstein spoke here in the yeshiva and said over, I'm not sure, it's possible he meant that he did the same shmuz, maybe it was a different time that he said the same thing, I don't know. But he said the exact same experience that he had, that the yeshiva said it so matter-of-factly, and yet, he got so tzitzit from it, that for weeks later, he just couldn't. And this was something the yeshiva just said matter-of-factly. I don't know if this is something I'm going to show you now, or something that please must be checked out before anyone puts it into any print. But this is something that I personally had. It was the end of this month, the end of the winter's month. Mamish at the end of this month, it must have been. Right before the Chodesh Nisan, or maybe before the Chodesh Nisan. Right. Right before the end of this month. And there were not so many people in the Smedish that time during Pesukei Dezimra, maybe, and so I was able to hear the yeshiva davening. And I hear him saying the Yirat Zayin after Pichus Tzachacha. And I heard him saying, "Shtagelenu b'seir sechel, d'akod b'seir sechel." And I thought I heard him repeating it. Then I listened weiter, and I hear him saying, "D'arkeinu b'yetzah toiv, v'masam toiv, v'chayv z'yisrael l'shtadelach." Then I hear him saying it again. "D'arkeinu b'yetzah toiv, v'masam toiv." And every time he said it first, then I couldn't hear the chayv z'yisrael l'shtadelach. Got quiet, and I hear him saying it again. Then I hear him saying it again. Then I started counting. On my fingers, I counted 20 times. "D'arkeinu b'yetzah toiv, v'masam toiv." And sometimes I heard the chayv z'yisrael l'shtadelach, sometimes it got quiet, so I couldn't hear it. 20 times on my fingers besides what till I didn't before I started counting. Yes, but that afterwards I heard again, I don't want this achrayus to say this over, but someone told me that Rabbi Berlovsky had the same experience, and I asked him about it, and he didn't want to share the experience with me too much, so I can't say over his name, but I heard that he had a big guy. He went like it, and he's a was a kind of thing. Kapovilovsky, I think his name is. That a club I did davening the yeshiva daven quite fierce. By davening is a mole, he would pick up his hands in his phylus, I suppose in his phylus. You can't say what it was. And he didn't shake that much, a little bit to the side. Except for Krishna, as I said before, which was fire. Fire mamish. Krishna was the only part of the davening where it was mamish fire. At Levaya of the Yeshiva Zechem Mizrocha, there were many Mehenei Espedim. First in Lakewood, Talmidim, mostly Talmidim besides of Yaakov, and Avridman Zechem Mizrocha. In New York, there were also many Espedim. I remember all of them, but someone spoke in the name of Agudas Rabbanim, someone spoke in the name of Agudas Yisrael, and the Balabatma of the Yeshiva, all different organizations, and each one lamented, "What will we do without Rabbanim?" And listening to all of them, they are spayed them in New York. Talmidim is Talmidim. Everyone, you know, cried him like a child cries for a father. But hearing these Espedim saying, "What will Aguda do without Rabbanim? What will this organization do?" I felt they're not saying what Rabbanim is. At the end, spoke the Panav Zhirov, Zechayim Livracha, and I remember his opening statement. I never heard the tape again, because I didn't listen to it. His opening statement was, "Rabbeisai, es is veranen 5.5 million Yidden in America. Was wird jetzt sein mit den 5.5 million Yidden von Amerika?" I heard that, I said to myself, "Oh, that's Teichung of the Rosh Yeshiva. The Yeshiva was for 5.5 million Jews of America. Even the 5.5 million did not know him, except for a few 100,000. But that's touching up what Abada meant to our country. Not a good, this organization, that organization." I was very interesting with everyone else. I just could take it, come on. What do you want? What is your sir? What do you want? It's too safe. At the end of the Shiva, again the Pan Vajirov came to the Shiva. I remember only his I remember a few things he said, but his opening statement in that has been Tuchsukhme, you have to listen to the tape, but Tuchsukhme, this was the Roish he left on me. He took out a big motor. Lord Baba Kama brings the COVID at the end of the first period, the COVID God will also like the Moisai. But it says what the COVID God does like of course the Pan Village was coming to talk about establishing, making sure that Yeshiva will continue. And he said, "Why Yeshiva Shiva Kivai?" And he said over the Gemara Taisa brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, because what did Chizkiyahu Melech do when Sancheret Rosh surrounded the Yisraelim, Eretz Yisrael? Don't take that yourself. No, it's Chizkiyahu Melech. Abraham, the Sheva, the Muslim Ishra, and the Snake, so God will be assumed to come with the Hara. And the Rosham I had, I don't remember if he said it beferish, was that the Yeshiva's Eiftel was that little Torah, not learning Torah, or yes, learning Torah, is a matter of life and death. It's not in books, it's not just a mitzvah, it's either or. That was the Yeshiva's taught the Eden in America. That was his message all the years. Whenever the Yeshiva spoke at any Yeshiva, as I said before, we were used to be sent Yeshivas, but in every Yeshiva that he spoke, he always, if it was a machor about a certain Indian in Klal Yisrael, but if he made sure to direct back to the audience to tell them their own achrayus. You're coming here to protest an Indian in Klal Yisrael, but you have to know also your achrayus, the little Torah, and becoming a doyle Torah, not just being a mistapik mu'ud and being mediocre. You have to go to the fullest extent, as you can listen and look at the different verses that he spoke. So this is what he taught this Medina. A little tight is a matter of life and death. That's why he reached our privilege. The man was the Emerson of Tulia Kat. Speaking by, I'm not a good, I always had trouble hearing him. Also, besides everything, was a big strain by me, listening to him most of the time. Shmusen Opgeret. Shurim was hard, but Shmusen even harder. He stood by his tender, and his tender was creaking. You could hear the creaking as loud as he heard. And it was more like speaking to himself, because when he sang the Shmuz, I don't know if anyone told you how the derech of the Shmuz was. It was 8 o'clock of the Shmuz. Everyone made sure to be there on time. The Yeshiva came in on time also. They were all crowded to the front of the Beis Medrash. And he would take out whatever Musa Sefer was learning, which usually what I saw was Chavis of others, and he'd start learning Musa. And the whole world would learn Musa. Where's Shmuz? What's Shmuz? The letter. And with the guns with the Muslim again, in a few minutes, the Yeshiva would rise and talk. And to Derech, the Bali Muslim is done, he was like more, he's talking to himself, at Mantach Mishyana, Mantach Zir. So it was hard to hear him, to understand him. I just remember that by you, so I don't remember, it was hard for me to understand him, especially before I came to Lake, but I remember Levaya, Mary Malin, speaking about Sukkim at the end of. Don't let him any foreign influence. And Delisi just turns up, which was treasured on the Al Tzida. The Tzida was a Chayma. In his time, in America, he was the Chayma. Besides, he was the one that brought in the Hasug of godless potato. To the greatest extent, he was the one, the only one. His hearing, whether you understood it or not, but I learned by many rabbis, and I felt that the year that I learned by the yeshiva, as far as learning, I had more from him, directly, indirectly, than I have from all my rabbis all the years. It's hard for me to explain it. Could I say I understood the yeshiva? No. I worked on the yeshiva, definitely yes. But he was mechayev to try to become bigger and better and understand learning. He was the Gvaldig and Mechayev. I always felt my Roshan, the Yeshiva was not a pedagogue. If I may say. He didn't deal with Cheshbin of pedagogy. We hear about smart people, the Yeshivas, the Mashkichim, who were big pedagogues. The Yeshiva was just his Metzias, was like the sun, like a giant magnet, I always think of him. Just pulling everybody up, every bach, every young man, just pulling them up. You just let yourself, you had to let yourself, wasn't shaykh otherwise. You were so scared of him. For every shiur, he would pause for about a minute or two. And if it was true or not, I don't know, but it would look like he's taking attendance. Everyone felt it that way, definitely. They felt he knows who's there and who's not, and everyone was scared. Yudah was Meiridik, and his whole mitzvah just was a tremendous, tremendous magnet that pulled you up. You couldn't become complacent with him. Never felt comfortable. You always looked at him with a gravity. Awesome, right? Whenever he walked into the Beis Medrash, the whole island would rise until he came to his place. It was real. It was a pacha. suggesting little things, which again, these things are not the usual. I mean, the two people that I saw, he watched his left hand from Tilos Yadam, he watched his left hand before his right. Reis Yosef and Simon Dalad, I think it is, of Arichas, discusses the Shaila, Api Zoya, Api Aloch, it's your right hand before your left. So why the Yeshiva did it this way, I don't know. And I've seen different people, basically even that watched the hymns. And he, one other one that I saw doing his left hand first. But the Yeshiva, that was a fact, I saw watch his hand many times, the left hand before the right.